This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Behind home plate, we bringing it to them all day. All day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. Always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. Tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up, welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am the endearingly stuttering host, Matt Sroka. As always, I'm joined by a guy who would never cut me out of our daddy's inheritance, the button lover, Josh Sroka.
Yeah, when do we, is it appropriate yet to start this lawsuit? I mean, I had the same opening as you that I was gonna sue you. I mean, that's what brothers are supposed to do right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Josh, if, and much to my regret, you know, I love my dad. Unfortunately, my dad is not, you know, a billionaire who owns a sports team. That's on him, right? That I'm not gonna have the privilege of inheriting a team one day. That's really on him, and it's sad for me that I don't get a chance to inherit a baseball team.
I wish there was something, Josh, I could sue you over.
Do you think if we were in that situation, I feel like we would definitely end with fighting over control of the team and suing each other. I could totally see it going that way.
Well, here's what I get. So Lou's the little brother. So in this case, you're Lou, right?
Sure, sure. And Lou's, you're John, the younger brother.
But they were both in their 20s when Peter bought the team, right?
Right.
So it's not like they grew up as kids around this baseball organization.
Right. They were young adults. Yeah.
They were grown men.
Yeah.
So, we would be out in the yard wrestling in the grass over this.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be taking this to a courtroom. We would be out in the yard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and we'll get into it. But my favorite thing in the article is when they get petty. And there's some petty stuff.
Oh, there's so much pettiness in
this. Which I love.
And now the pettiness, what I love is that the whole article is all on Lou's side of the story.
Yes, of
which
course
is all the pettiness.
His attorneys are, it's all his attorney's quotes. Yeah.
There's just made up stuff in there to try to get people on their side. And I love John's response, because John doesn't put out a response himself. He has the Orioles put out the response.
Yeah.
In other words, he just sits there and be like, yeah, I run this team. Here's my response.
Yeah.
I manage this team so well that this team is putting out my response instead of some random lawyer.
Yeah, though that in some ways, I guess, might contribute to Lou's case that it's not 50-50. That challenge really
not 50-50.
But Josh, I would do the same thing if I was in this position. I would be pulling out, if it was me and you, I'd be pulling out old pictures of you in a Marlins shirt, and I'd be posting them online. I'd be saying, look, Josh just married a girl from Florida. He used to wear Marlins gear.
Right.
Exactly. I heard he liked Tim Tebow. Like all this stuff to try to persuade that people I'm that moving. You're going to move the team to Jacksonville. Yeah,
exactly. Josh moved to Jacksonville a few years ago. He hasn't even been to a game in Baltimore yet this year.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
He always talks about how much he loves Jacksonville. He's got Buc-ee's. He's already in talks with Buc-ee's as a sponsor, I heard.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's true, but I heard that.
Yeah. Right. The owner of Buc-ee's got to help me bring it down. Yeah. Totally makes sense. I just wish we had this billion-dollar baseball team to argue over.
No, yeah, and that's not on us, Josh. That's on our dad.
That's on dad.
That's on dad. No, that's not our problem. Yeah. That was his fault. He failed us there.
But that's the funny thing is, what I don't understand, and I get, like, billionaires are billionaires, whatever. Their kids are spoiled, apparently, even at 25. If our dad bought a team, let's say our dad did own a major league sports team.
Yeah. I mean, our dad owns Bupkis, but okay.
Right.
Our dad's going to give me no company I'll be inheriting worth millions of dollars. Nothing.
Right. I got that. You've made that very clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No inheritance for us. Got it. All right. So let's just play this game with me. So dad owns this billion-dollar baseball team.
Okay.
You and I are in our 20s. We're huge baseball fans. We're huge Oriole fans.
Yeah.
We kind of encourage and push dad to buy this team.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. Go buy the team.
Yeah.
if I'm 28, 29, if I'm 22, I am at that point, I'm quitting my job, no matter what type of job I have. And I'm getting a job in that baseball organization. And I'm working my way up in that baseball organization. Not as a baseball player, obviously. Well, but it's like,
if you could,
get me in the management track.
Yeah.
This isn't a rookie of the year moment, but this is a get me in this team. John Angelos, I don't know what he's done for this team before he became the acting director. Lou Angelos, I know he spoke at one of the statue games, or he was there at one of the statue games. I don't know what else Lou Angelos has done before this.
Yeah.
Peter, we at least all hate. I get that.
Yeah.
And now I know that people hate John because his name is Angelos.
Well, Peter might turn out to be the hero of this story, though. Just hold on and wait for it. He might turn out to be the hero.
Maybe.
Because he doesn't want to go anywhere. Yeah.
But John is at least coming back with the good responses. John's coming back. But it's all this. You know what? I will take all of this family drama, though. Everyone complains, oh, this is the worst owner in sports, whatever. It's not. I would take all this family drama over what Redskin fans have to deal with Dan Snyder.
Yeah, that's probably true. And we can get into that. I mean, we're all talking about the article that was posted on the banner earlier this week. And we can get into some of the quotes.
Yeah, it's also the Baltimore Banner.
Yeah.
What a great, like, I've never heard of the Baltimore Banner.
Until now, I have not either. Until this
but article. But they had the right headline. It was the guy from the Sun.
Justin Fenton, yeah.
Justin Fenton.
Yeah.
And who also, didn't Justin write the book that the HBO show is based on?
Isn't that really also Justin about Fenton? The Gun Trace Task Force?
I think that's Justin Fenton as well.
They had the Baltimore Sun for years and years and years, yeah.
Right. They had a big name, and they had the juiciest article because we all love drama about this family, and nothing ever comes out about this family. We hate this family. We hate this family. We hate this family. We all subject and make opinions about what this family does and what this family thinks of the Orioles. And we all pretend like we know what this family does. And now we've got an article full of juicy details.
Oh man, this is like, I mean, this is the HBO show Succession, right? This is Succession, but in kind of real life. And it reminds me so much of, I saw this play out years ago with when Jerry Falwell Sr. died and Jonathan Falwell and Jerry Falwell, his two kids fought it out for Liberty University and who gets their own Liberty.
Oh,
so and how they decided it.
You're saying John Angelos might have a beach boy, a pool boy.
How they decided it. Yeah. I mean, who knows in this scenario? Yeah. Who knows in that scenario, Jonathan got the church, the huge church down there. And Jerry Jr. got the school, though that didn't work out very well to Jerry Jr.
So would you prefer the team or the TV network?
Yeah. If you divide it that way, I mean, obviously the team.
Right. Yeah, the TV network, second fiddle.
Yeah, so anyway, a couple kind of highlights from the quote. here's just reading from the quote. This is according to the lawsuit that Lou is filing against John, right? Lou and his lawsuit claims that John, quote, John intends to maintain absolute control of the Orioles to manage to sell, or even if he chooses to move to Tennessee, where he has a home and where his wife's career is headquartered. Without having to answer anyone. So this is the headline,
which is, Josh, total crap.
Like the article that he could move to Tennessee with the team, confirming what Nestor has been saying for years.
Right.
And all of the Orioles' worst fears.
And
why is this nonsense, Josh?
This is nonsense.
I agree with you, but why is it nonsense?
One, it was put in there specifically to get the good PR, specifically to get Oriole fans behind your back. It was in there to say John Angelos controls the team. In fact, he controls the team so well, he can put himself up at second base and play if he wants. That's basically equivalent of what they're saying.
Yeah,
he and by the way, Josh, so he can do whatever he wants.
Go back to your previous point. Don't you, if your dad was the owner of a baseball team, you would demand that you play on the field. I don't want to hear that.
No, I want. Well, yeah, that. Yes and no. Not in a game, but I would definitely be like Rookie of the Year with my friends out there playing some softball when the team's away.
Yeah, but that was the premise of the quote, was that he has absolute control of the Orioles and he can do what he wants with it.
Right,
and then they list a bunch of things he could do, including moving to Tennessee.
Right, and the things that he could do were just made up.
He could also move it to Mars, right? He could also
He can discount hot dogs to 50 cents. He can make the team wear pink uniforms. He can do whatever he wants. And that was the whole point, is he can do whatever he wants. Let's list what's going to freak Orioles fans out. And there's a multitude of reasons why moving to Nashville is not possible.
And they put in parentheses where he has a home and where his wife's career is headquartered. They put that in parentheses too.
Exactly. Just to highlight it. Yeah. In fact, he can move it to Nashville because here's all the other stuff that Nestor and others have subjected.
Yeah. But it's ridiculous for a lot of reasons. Do you want to talk about why it's ridiculous?
Here's a few reasons why it can't happen.
Yeah.
Nashville is going to get a baseball team. We all know Nashville, Portland, and Montreal are going to get baseball teams in the next 10 years.
Hopefully, yeah.
Makes sense. Baseball doesn't want to move a team. They want to expand a team. They want expansion and have more teams, more money.
Yep.
If expansion doesn't work, okay, they'll move a team. You need 75% of the owners to agree to move a team.
Yeah.
Camden Yards is the best stadium in baseball. Major League Baseball will never vote to let's leave this stadium empty.
I mean, how much drama, Josh, right now it's happening in Oakland. It's happening with the Commanders.
Yeah, that's football. What I was going to say.
So much drama is centered around finding a stadium and financing a stadium and finding a spot for a stadium. It is so much work, so much money to get a stadium.
Right. So if you want to be serious about a team that could possibly move to Nashville, if there is no expansion, you got to look at a team like Tampa and Oakland. That has low attendance and the worst stadiums in baseball. Stadiums are so important. Now I get the argument. We did talk about the fact that crime is really bad in Baltimore and that's scaring people away. But crime is really bad in St. Louis and they're winning baseball games and packing their stadium.
Bad everywhere, yeah. Yeah. In all major cities.
Yeah, but I think St. Louis at this moment had a higher gun deaths or something I was reading than Baltimore.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know, something like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter because winning baseball brings you into the stadiums. And we have the nicest stadium in all of baseball. You're not going to move a team out of Baltimore.
And also, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Nashville a smaller market than Baltimore? I would imagine it's a smaller market.
It's growing. Baltimore's shrinking and Nashville's growing.
Okay.
So that might not be true in
20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure how it marks as a TV network either, because remember the Orioles market bleeds into there because there's no baseball team. So it bleeds into North Carolina, South Carolina, as long as the Braves do as well. Right. So that might be a larger TV network depending on the size of the footprint.
Right.
But either way, Nashville, because it's a dump and coming team. Oh, and I forgot Vegas. Nashville and Vegas are your number one and number two for cities getting teams.
Yeah, I agree.
The point is, it's not the Orioles. The Orioles aren't going anywhere. Johnny Angelo, the $1.2 billion into the Camden Yards facility, remember, we just talked about that like a month and a half ago, 2 months. Johnny Angelo is before saying as long as Fort McHenry is there. Now, I don't know. The way we're tearing down statues and stuff, Fort McHenry might go away. But either way, his point remains that Camden Yards will be there.
Oh, you think he said that purposely? Because he'll go tear down Fort McHenry so he can say I wasn't lying.
You know what? Yeah, he's saying, you know what? What culture might take this down? Let's go attack Fort McHenry because I got to get out of here.
Wait, here's some other quotes.
If he wanted to do that, he would pick something besides Fort McHenry. He'd be like, as long as that Ray Lewis statue is outside of M&T, and that he can go pull down in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And everyone, John Angelo said it, reinforced it all again in his statement through the Orioles today. And I know everyone's response is, this means the Orioles are leaving because the owner of the Colts said he wasn't leaving either. Different times, different situation, different everything. The Orioles aren't going anywhere.
All right, here's another quote. This is from the article from the Banner. It says, the suit says a top priority of Angelos's wife, Georgia, has been to sell the team. And an advisor went about trying to negotiate a sale in 2020. Josh. I don't remember being aware of them selling the team or trying to sell the team in 2020. I didn't know his wife really wanted to sell the team.
John's wife or Peter's wife?
Peter's wife.
Yeah, I understand Peter's wife wanting to sell the team because she's tired of the infighting.
Thanksgiving, they're all fighting at the table. You probably want to sell the team. Yeah,
this is what would happen to us. If we're at dinner at Thanksgiving and Easter and every family event, we're there and you and I are fighting over the team. And dad's incapacitated because he had a stroke or fell down or whatever happened to Peter. Mom's going to say every single time, let's sell the team and stop the fighting.
Yeah. Everyone get a few $100 million and go home happy.
Yeah. Take your $100 million, go do whatever you want to do with that. go buy a minor league team or something. I'm tired of this fighting. I'm getting the Orioles. I'm getting rid of the Orioles. Makes total sense. It's what mom would do if we were, when we were kids fighting over something. You get rid of the thing that they're fighting over.
Yeah. It also claims, the suit also claims that John Angelos forced out former star center fielder and Orioles Hall of Famer Brady Anderson from his front office role because he quote, presented a threat.
Yeah. This is the funnest part of the entire thing.
Agreed.
Who did he cause a threat? Who did he threaten?
Brady Anderson?
Yeah.
Who did he threat? I guess, I mean, what's implied here is that he was a threat to take over the club.
I don't think that's the threat.
What was the threat?
I think the threat was to the players. I think it was the awkward. I think John Angelos got rid of Brady, which I think was a good thing because he was suiting up in the locker room and then going ratting out to ownership.
Right.
He was a spy. We always suspected that
Brady Anderson was put in there by the Angeloses as a spy, but here he's fired by John Angelos, which makes it clear he was clearly hired as a spy for Lou, right?
For Lou. Yeah, he was Lou's spy because Lou and Brady were close.
And Lou was mad that his spy was fired.
Exactly. Maybe he was going out to Peter and to Lou, but the spy got fired. He was not a threat to John Angelos.
But we always would joke and wonder about what is Brady Anderson's exactly role here? Is he in management? Is he a player, coach? Why is he suiting up? What's his job description here? Right. What's his qualifications? But now it becomes clear he's Lou's guy.
He was a spy.
He's Lou's guy. And in this power struggle, it's better to be John's guy than to be Lou's guy.
Right. And sorry, in this power struggle, doesn't it make you now be like, okay, you know what? Maybe John does know what's best for the team. He got rid of the spy.
Yeah, that's a good move. That's points to John for getting rid of Brady.
Right. I like Brady. I like Brady a lot. This isn't getting rid of Cal Ripken or Brooks Robinson or Eddie Murray.
Josh, it's a former Orioles Hall of Famer, Brady Anderson.
I believe this who said Orioles legend.
Yeah.
Legendary Orioles Brady Anderson.
But Josh, it says that John Angelos forced out Brady Anderson from his front office because he presented a threat. Uh-huh. Presumably it presented a threat to John Angelos. What threat did he present to John Angelos?
The threat was
what is Lou arguing here? I don't understand what Lou's arguing here. Was Brady gonna overthrow John somehow?
Maybe he was going to his dad and ratting out the Lou and dad. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
there was no threat because that's like my boss firing me, the owner of the company firing me because I am a threat to ownership, that I am gonna take over ownership from him. That's not how business works. So I don't think there's anything Lou's trying to say except for, oh, my brother didn't like Brady Anderson, and we all love Brady Anderson. I think that's all he was trying to say.
But he says here, John, here's the next quote. The lawsuit says that, quote, John unilaterally and without consultation ordered general manager Mike Elias to fire Anderson. Listen, Mike Elias fired a lot of people. Mike Elias, I'm pretty sure on his own, was going to fire Brady Anderson, right? Yes, Brady Anderson's totally. No saber analytic guru that Mike Elias would stick around.
There's part of this also, I think the Brady firing also takes me back to, all right, so Brady was just a spy. And I accept that. Brady was a spy.
Right.
Don't you feel bad for Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter that they had to deal with Brady the spy?
Yeah, I would be curious to see.
I want these guys to
Brady Anderson kind of fascinates me.
Because remember, one fan fest, he was Sam up on Dingman, stage with the guys, with Dan Duquette and Buck Showalter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As if it was this trio.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't even know what his title was. But Sam Dingman, now that he's done the rumor, needs to do a new podcast.
The Brady Files?
On Brady, yeah. On Brady Anderson and interview Buck Showalter, interview Dan Duquette, interview Mike Elias, interview Lou in there for a different take. And it'll be fascinating about Brady Anderson's time here.
Right. The problem is nobody speaks out about any of this. We're getting all this information from a lawyer.
Yeah, and this is stuff that happened when Mike Elias was hired, you know, 3 years ago or whatever. It says, in addition, the lawsuit alleges John fired longtime employees who would not play ball and surrounded himself with yes men.
Yeah, okay. I mean, lots of owners do that. I mean, lots of business people do that. And who were they? were they yes men or were they like he fired Lou's guys?
Yeah, this is again all from Lou's perspective. Right. How would Lou identify a yes man? I mean, Mike Elias, just for the record, he hired Mike Elias, right? Mike Elias doesn't seem like a yes man, right? No, like Mike Elias doesn't seem like a guy who said, okay, I'll come here and I'll just do whatever you want me to do. No, Mike Elias kind of flipped everything on its head.
Right. Now, when Mike Elias was introduced, Lou and John were both there.
Yes.
So they made it at least appear like this was a team joint decision.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, come on.
I guess, I'll read on and get your response. It says, the lawsuit reveals a rift between Peter and John Angelos, with John, quote, openly displaying his disregard for his father's prerogative as the managing partner of the team. There was also bitter regular conflict over John's failure to pass the bar after attending law school.
Oh, this is,
That's petty stuff.
This is petty stuff. This is you coming out and saying, well, Josh didn't even graduate from high school, college.
Yep, and like bringing out transcripts. I'm surprised we didn't get like GPAs in here.
Exactly. Josh had this GPA in high school.
Yeah.
Right. Remember that time when Josh was 17 and he crashed the car? That's what you're bringing up. You're bringing up petty stuff.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with
the
argument here.
Right. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't drag his wife. Well, no, you did drag his wife into it saying, oh, she lives in Nashville. She's focused on that.
Yeah, you are drugged. Yeah,
you already dragged the wife in.
Yeah. She's been drugged.
She's been drugged.
She's been drugged.
Different words.
That's one of my favorite lines of the whole article. I love that.
Yeah, the pass the bar.
Didn't pass the bar after.
Right. And sorry.
John's failure to pass the bar after in law school.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, John doesn't need to pass the bar. He's working on a baseball team.
Right. And I guess if you want to pass the bar, I'm sure John would have preferred to pass the bar. It doesn't say like he kept on trying. Like he clearly didn't. I mean, I don't think he wanted to go in that field. Right. Like he's got the baseball team. But
right. I assume
I feel like John would have a different take on that.
The bar.
Yeah. I don't know what Lou's credentials here are. I wish John would come out with a response to this. That would make me happy.
Lou Angelos is a fast casual Italian place. It's fun. You Google Louis Angelos and it's everyone talking about this story.
Yeah. So it says John subverted. Here's more quotes from the lawsuit. John subverted his father's intentions and acted unilaterally without advance disclosure to or consultation with Mrs. Angelos or Lou. So it seems like a lot of this hinges on the fact unilaterally is kind of quoted here, I don't know, 10 times this article, that John is acting not as a 50-50 partner with Lou.
Right.
And I would imagine, Josh, I just imagine, this is why I think it would end with a lawsuit with us too. When you're running a team, there's a lot of decisions to be made. I would imagine it could be challenging to be on the same page with your brother 100% of the time and have to like clear every decision with your brother. And like, clearly I think, you know, like I would think I'm doing a better job than you are. You would think you're doing a better job than I am.
Right.
And I could totally see how conflict could happen here. And one person is making decisions without consulting the other person. Like
That's why it's good that Section 336 makes no money.
Yes.
We have nothing to argue over.
Yes.
I will say, I just pulled up Louis Angelos and John Angelos' Twitter. And it's hilarious to me that John Angelos' Twitter bio says chairman and CEO of the Baltimore Orioles. Louis Angelos says ownership representative Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think to Lou's point, John he seems the kind of guy who dots his I's and crosses his T's here.
He's the older brother too.
He is. Yeah. Like he seems to be. So it's not like
this is the first time they've had this fight.
Yeah.
They've had this fight their entire life growing up.
Yeah. And John probably got the better of him more times.
That's what older brothers do. That's how it goes.
So this is talking about when, you know, Mr. Angelos had the stroke. It says the plan also called for transfer Mr. Angelos' interest in the Orioles into his revocable trust as a prelude to a sale. The suit says Georgia Angelos, you know, that's the wife of Peter Angelos, was anxious to implement this plan. It says instead, John sprang into action, creating a leadership team with himself positioned as chairman and CEO and no mention of Lou or their mother.
Yep.
Louis Angelos claims his brother fed their mother misinformation regarding both the team and Luke, because now it gets more personal, Josh.
Misinformation.
Bet their mother misinformation.
Keyword regarding the past both the 2 years, team misinformation. And Lou.
He harangued her over the telephone, angrily feeding her half-truths and outright fabrications that paralyzed her with confusion, fear, and indecision. Oh.
At what point does Lou bring up where John Angelos was on January 6th?
Yeah. I mean, this is Josh.
Remember, at the same time, though, we went through this drama. We had this discussion here where Major League Baseball was getting irritated at the Angelos family, saying, one of you has to be in charge. Tell us who's in charge. We need one of you to be in charge. And that's when John Angelos became the CEO, chairman, whatever guy.
Yeah. But Josh, this happens, right? You get in a fight with dad. We talk to mom. We say one thing to mom, right? It gets back and we say, no, that's not what I said. Misinterpret. Like you go to mom as being that, that third wheel or whatever. And then you try to argue your side of the case. And it sounds like poor Lou here is on the losing end of a lot of these arguments that's being argued with mom.
Was it Jacob and Esau in the Bible where like the mom and the little brother teamed up to like put hair on his arm?
Yeah, put hair on Jacob's arm to make Jacob be all hairy.
To trick the old guy who was misinformation. Blind and incapacitated with some misinformation. That's what this reminds me of. Is let's go trick the old guy who's incapacitated, who's somehow still alive. But we need to trick him into giving me the blessing as CEO and chairman.
Yeah. But I also like how this is a huge lawsuit and like it goes to like there's shots in there like you didn't pass the bar and shots in there like, you called
family
mom
drama.
And you told mom this and that wasn't true. weren't telling the truth to mom.
Right. The misinformation means on the phone you were telling your mom your side of the story.
Yep. And then it gets into more specific examples about how John did things and didn't tell Lou, and Lou got mad. And then it ends with this. The Orioles were valued at $1.375 billion by Forbes. And isn't that crazy? The Orioles are valued at $1.375 billion.
And the only teams to lose go down in their value this past year.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, and it was funny. In the Forbes article, they had no reason for it to go down except for poor ownership. Like it was like whoever wrote that article also hates the Orioles and their ownership.
Yeah. Josh, do you think, all right, so we dispel the notion that they're moving to Nashville.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
How about
what's your takeaway from this article? Is it just fun, entertaining drama, or is there something behind here that maybe Oriole fans should be a little concerned or bothered by?
There's definitely concern. I will say it makes me like John Angelos a little more. I think John Angelos comes out of this looking better.
And John Angelos, to his credit, he's always seemed to said the right thing, right? Yeah. Like with social justice issues, with other things, he seems to be kind of on the right side of things. Yeah.
And the thing that like everything that he put in here to try to make John look bad sounds like pettiness or it's just straight made up stuff. And I know there's plenty of Oriole fans who are going to grab on to that whole move to Nashville. But it's silly. It's not.
Because in the context, it was. He has the power to do what he wants, including moving to a different state. Oh, and by the way, his wife lives in Tennessee. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, his wife's a songwriter in Nashville. So clearly that means the Orioles are moving to Nashville.
Right.
So I think John comes out looking better in this with Lou's. The whole article to me reminds me of a younger brother whining to mom.
Yeah, I don't know who leaked this article.
No one leaked this.
I mean, who leaked the lawsuit? I guess it's not leaked lawsuit, or is it publicly?
It's been filed.
Oh, so that's public
filing.
Oh, because I was saying like this is something that John's people, I would imagine, would want out there, not Lou's people.
Exactly, but I think that Lou's people think that all the pettiness that their Lou's family's lawyers putting in this is because they think that it'll make Lou look good. Which I don't get. It makes Lou look so much worse.
Yeah.
It's almost like Better Call Saul. Do you watch Better Call Saul?
No.
Better Call Saul is the prequel to Breaking Bad. And there's a lot of this family drama of Saul Goodman and his older brother, who's also a lawyer, and pettiness because one doesn't like the way the other acts.
Right.
And it's this whole younger brother, older brother mentality between lawyers. And that's all that this is going on. Now, to back up, there is a slight concern for Oriole fans, as you were saying.
Yeah.
And that is finances. Because depending on how the courts handle this, the courts could easily say, hey, this is a serious lawsuit, freeze all spending until this is settled. Right. They could do that. They haven't. But there's concern of
this
stuff
could be
like
Madison
that.
2.0 is what you're saying.
Right, exactly. Right. Did the Madison lawsuit ever end?
No, I think it's still out there.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be the fear that this would drag on for years and years at the time where we really need the Orioles to spend money.
Right. That's how I, like, after kind of getting through the article and just being kind of blown away by some of the quotes and the pettiness. Yeah. My next thought was, okay, how does this impact the Orioles signing Carlos Correa next year? What's the impact on Carlos Correa signing? And on the one hand, when you hear rumors about selling teams, and I no indication that John wants to sell the team, by the way, but that Peter Angels' wife wants to sell the team, which I get. And I don't know the exact, you know, state of health of Peter, obviously. But
it can't be good.
Right, it can't be good. But any idea of selling the team, for the most part, I would take as a positive, not a negative. Because selling the team, I mean, you see what happened with the Mets. I'm not saying we're going to get the Mets owner. But this ownership, you know, doesn't seem, you know, financially to be, they seem to be a little bit stingy. So maybe a new ownership would, you know, spend more. But the infighting, I don't want an organization at the top. I mean, one of the things that's making this work, this whole rebuild, or as Buster only calls it, tanking.
Right. Well, we'll get to Buster.
Because he was quick to tweet.
Oh, and this was the headline. This was definitely a story on his podcast immediately.
Oh, I didn't listen to the podcast yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was on Friday's podcast. Right.
Within minutes of John Angel's post, he was tweeting about it. But anyway, what was I talking about? Any type of fighting at the top, and lack of cohesion is concerning because you want everyone to be on the same page.
Anything
and
that
I
takes
don't
the
want
focus
a,
off the field.
Yeah, I don't want a co-owner trying to sabotage things just because he's mad at his brother, right? Like, I don't want him in there trying to sneak in people or do whatever just because he's mad at his brother. Like, I want that to be whatever. I want Lou to be an island by himself for there to be peace. Like, I want there to be peace at the top.
Right.
So we can sign Carlos Correa and it's not a big deal.
Yeah. One of my favorite Twitter or Facebook responses from Oriole fans, clearly one of the fans that believes that John's going to move the team, was this season is now set up to be a great comeback story of the team that's struggling under 500, gets a cardboard cutout of John Angelos in the dugout with a big sign about him moving to Nashville, and every win they remove a piece of clothing from him.
Yeah.
And then we win the whole thing. So,
and John, every time we win a game, John gets angry somewhere, right. Throwing.
We see John up in his box, all angry.
Yeah.
Yep.
No. So my takeaway is, like, first of all, I love it. I'm totally intrigued. I'm like, bring on the drama. I hope it doesn't trickle down to any negative effects. I hope we
still love the drama,
Carlos
but you don't want it to affect the team that you love.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where Buster inserts himself. Friday on the podcast, he had no problem tearing into the Angelos family. Monday, he responds to John Angelos' comments with this tweet. The numbers to watch the years ahead are the payroll for the Orioles. If they don't spend significantly more, they will not evolve beyond the ATM machine they've been for ownership for recent seasons. And you can see just in that little comment by Buster saying the ATM machine. He puts in his agenda right in there. And he brings out, in 2019, the Orioles' payroll was $80 million. In 2022, they were $23 million. So that's a 60-game season. So you'd have to do the math that's probably around a $60, $70 million payroll.
Right.
If it was a full season. 2021, $57 million. 2022, $43 million. Now, what I don't – and I what well, I want –
First of all, the only reason those previous
on,
payrolls were so high – it's because you were still dealing with the contracts about Cobb and Chris Davis and Jimenez, and you had to get those off the books first. Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So we spent extra money for no benefit on those seasons. But what I really want someone to call Buster out on these is look beyond the payroll. Look at the money spent in the Dominican Republic on that new facility. Look at all the equipment built for the minor leagues to get better updated analytics. Look at building out an analytic department. Look at moving the wall and the money there. Look at where else ownership is putting money into this team beyond the payroll. That's what someone needs to call Buster out on, and I'm not seeing that. That's the conversation Buster needs to have, with like a serious conversation, instead of let's hate on the Orioles. Let's see what the Orioles are actually doing instead of an ATM machine for ownership. If the Orioles were just an ATM machine for ownership, you would not have this family infighting, because they would just be making money.
I mean, I don't know. I would love to see the Orioles books and see how much they made or didn't make over the past few years. But I agree with you. That's always been my, you know, there's no nuance in this discussion. And for some reason, the other thing I think that drives Orioles fans crazy is, you know, the Astros did the same thing.
Yes.
Right now, there's a, you know, half a dozen teams doing it. The Reds are doing it. The Tigers are doing it.
The Orioles are the bad guys.
But the Orioles keep on getting called out, and the other teams, they're doing it. And it's not good. But Buster really doesn't talk about them. He just talks about the Orioles, the Orioles. Well, it's almost like this obsession with them.
Well, and it's because, guess what? The Baltimore Sun had a great sports department in the 90s.
Oh, my gosh. Every big name.
And all those guys
to Baltimore.
Got frustrated at the Angelos family. And well, now Peter. Got national markets.
Yeah, Peter, yeah.
Yes, at Peter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. And yeah, there should be a nuanced discussion. But at the same, you know, breath, Josh, as Oriole fans, you and I both have said, probably should have spent more money on starting pitching this year, right? Yes. Like they could have and should have spent more money on the major league squad, even with all that stuff going on the minors. They should have spent more money on the major league squad. And like Buster, I mean, I disagree with all the others, you know, his obsession, but I agree with him. And we talked about him here all the time. What they do next year and the year after is going to say a lot about the direction of this franchise for the next 10, 20 years, right? What they do next year and the year after. Because the prospects are here. Now you have to supplement with major league talent if you want to be continually successful. And will they be willing to sign Carlos Correa? Will they be willing to sign, you know, a starting pitcher, if not two starting pitchers, who are not Jordan Lyles, but are number two, number three rotation guys? I think that's what we have to find out.
Got it. Yeah. Now,
and so with that, I'm with Buster, but with the obsession and lack of nuance, I'm with you.
That's the thing, is Buster's comment about watching the payroll. That's true. That's real. That's something we need to pay attention to.
And we talked about it all the time.
Yeah, we do.
But we also talk about, you know, their commitment to improving the, you know, international talent, the total change about how we, you know, grow our prospects. And Buster never talks about any of that. Yeah.
Right. Has anyone reached out to Brady Anderson to try to get his opinion on all this?
That's what I'm saying. That's Sam Dingman needs to do the podcast.
I know. I did a quick Google on Brady, and the latest news on Brady's Wikipedia is that in 2020, he began dating a South Korean American singer, actress, and ballerina named Stephanie. And that's,
he's a good looking guy. Not surprised. Yeah. Does he have a Twitter? Josh, can you reach out to him?
He does not have a Twitter. I was looking for his Twitter. He does not have
a LinkedIn.
He does not have a Twitter. I will check for a LinkedIn. I'm not seeing a LinkedIn.
Facebook, MySpace.
He was on episode 14 of Sabrina Through the Looking Glass in 1997.
Okay, that's not very relevant.
Let's see, Brady Anderson LinkedIn. There are 100 Brady Andersons on LinkedIn.
Yeah, too common of a name.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yep. And I don't see any super tan guys.
All right. Well, Josh, you can continue that research.
No leather jackets.
Talk about the play on the field this past week for the Orioles. We went up to Kansas City.
Wait, was there baseball games this week?
There was actual baseball games in the midst of all this off-the-field drama. Went into Kansas City. Kansas City had the worst record in the American League.
Yeah.
easy sweep or what? I mean, before that, we did sweep the Cubs. All right, let's give the Orioles a little bit of credit. We swept
the Cubs.
That
was one game. One game.
We still swept them. Still swept them.
It's not a one game. You can't call it a sweep when the game was postponed because of
the Josh, rain. We win every game of the series.
Yeah, we did.
All right.
Well, kind of. It's on hold.
Every game of the series that was played. Yeah. And then we go to Kansas City. Yeah. Again, worst record in the American League. You think we're
right? Lost 7-5, lost 8-1.
Yeah, you look at their pitching staff. Everyone on their pitching staff, I feel like, has an ERA over 7. Yet somehow we lost the first two games of that series, and things were looking ugly. And thankfully, thanks to Richie Martin, we bounced back and win the next two games to split the KC Adley series.
Stepped in there a little bit too.
Well, Adley had the big 3-hit game, a couple doubles. He's been hitting the ball hard lately, which is good. And Richie Martin, it's great to see Richie Martin up. Josh, you know, you don't want to split with Kansas City. You want to win that series.
Right.
But after the first two games, it was nice to come back with the split. And I was really thrilled for Richie Martin, not just getting able to play, but actually not just getting the call up, but getting to start each game and actually playing really well. So it was fun to see Richie Martin out there. And it was good to see Adley Rutschman with the 3 hits. I don't know.
It shows you how much starting pitching matters. With this team. It's all about starting pitching. And we spent no money on starting pitching. Right now, the Orioles are four wins above where they were last year.
Yeah.
At this time, which is good. It's an upswing. We don't have Grayson Rodriguez. He got hurt. We would have seen him this week.
Yep.
We don't have John Means.
Yep.
That arguably really our
two best starting pitchers. Yeah.
Right. We spent no money on pitching, as you were saying before. If we had those two guys, we'd be much closer to 500.
Yeah.
If you had John Means for the entire season, if you had Grayson Rodriguez for one start right now, I would be getting excited for this team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a few more wins. I think that than you're at right now.
I mean, we're 26-35.
Yeah.
It definitely puts you 30-35, if not higher.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can think maybe a 29-32 or something at this point instead of 26-35.
Well, that's what I'm saying. 30 and 31, something like that. It would be what I was saying. Four wins. I could easily get four wins with John Means and Grayson Rodriguez.
And Grayson Rodriguez. Yeah, instead of some of the pitchers we've been seeing here. And this is what I said. You know, this is why I predicted the record. I forget what I said, like 90 losses or something.
Right.
And the reason I said our offense would be fine, but do we have enough pitching? You know, to win enough games because we didn't do anything, and so we're still seeing these same guys.
Which is also why we stick into hope for next year, because the pitching for next year is unavoidable. Yeah. Outside of injury, you do not have John Means, Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall, Kyle Bradish in this rotation next year.
What do you mean,
Jordan Lyles? This is your rotation next year.
Yeah.
Outside of injury. John Means' injury means he might not be there on opening day.
Right.
Grayson Rodriguez should be fine. Unless this injury means they hold him back next season to build up innings or whatever, which would be ridiculous.
That would be outrageous.
It'd be outrageous. Yeah. He needs to be on the roster. I'm saying this rotation next year on paper looks so much better than this season, which is why you have hope that this season could have been so much different if you had pitching. Next year, we know we have the pitching. So next season should be a whole lot better.
Maybe, but it's also the reason. I mean, I just think about the Mets, right? The Mets who on paper got, you know, 5 great starters.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, their top 2 starters go down with injury, DeGrom and Scherzer. And, you know, it's kind of next guy up. Like, I feel like you need at least – you know, 6 really good starters. Right now, I feel really good about John Means. I feel really good about Grayson Rodriguez. Those are the only two guys I feel great about. 2 of them. I don't feel great about Kyle Bradish. I don't understand why Kyle Bradish throws 97 miles per hour, but opponents have a batting average of 380 against his fastball. How can you throw 97, but hitters are batting 380 off it? And you have a good slider, a good curveball. Like, his stuff is so good. I don't understand why he gives up so many runs and so many hard-hit balls. I don't really get that with Kyle Bradish. But so I'm not 100% sold. And I think it's good. I'd rather watch Kyle Bradish out there trying to figure it out and struggle a little bit
right
than watch some other guy But still, I'm not 100% sold on Kyle Bradish. I'm not sold on Bruce Zimmerman by any means. I'm not sold on, you know, the other guy I really like on this rotation. If I was doing my, you know, Matt's starting pitcher confidence index rankings, I have the most confidence going into next year in Grayson Rodriguez, second in John Means, third actually in Tyler Wells. Though I mean, DL Hall.
Tyler Wells has been a nice surprise.
Yeah, he has been. He's been good. To me, those are my top three guys that I have confidence in. I don't have confidence really in anybody else. I don't have confidence in Dean Kramer. I don't have confidence in Kyle Bradish. I don't have confidence in, you know, in Bruce Zimmerman, obviously. Now, if you want to carry those guys over and kind of have them, I don't have confidence in Jordan Lyles. I don't know if I'll be here next year. If you want to carry those guys as Kyle Bradish and Dean Kramer, like those guys should be battling out for a fifth spot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your 1-2 is John Means, Grayson Rodriguez. And what I'm saying is you need to sign a legit third starter, Tyler Wells, number 4, and then have those guys play at number 5. But then some pitcher next year will get hurt, Josh. And so.
Oh, sure. If not the whole season, at least missing a few starts, which is right. Why depth is important.
Right. And in Norfolk, I mean, you got DL Hall and that's it. That's it. I don't want to say the cupboard is bare and get people mad at me, but some of those other pitching prospects are a little bit further down the line. And so DL Hall is the next guy up. And again, he's been inconsistent and he has amazing stuff and I hope it gets together. And to me, I said it before, DL Hall is the biggest kind of puzzle piece of this future. If he figures it out and can be effective, that changes everything, because then we have a legit 1 Grayson, 2 Hall, 3 Means, 4 Wells. Like that's, I think that's a legit rotation if Hall figures it out, which I think is, you know, to be determined.
When do you think we see DL Hall up here? Do they let him try to figure out in the majors?
Yeah, he had a pretty good start. His last start gave up, I think, 3 runs in his first inning, one of them earned, and then, you know, bounced back and threw, I think, 4 2/3 of well-pitched ball, having 8 strikeouts and only gave up the 1 earned run. So that's back-to-back good starts by DL Hall. So I don't know, 2 or 3 more. Like I would expect him to be here in July if he continues to pitch well. But we shall see. I mean, I wonder if, like, after what happened to Grayson, like, let's see this guy before something goes wrong. See DL. I mean, that to me, that's the biggest thing. I have to look at in this pitcher, DL Hall. But, you know, last year, the year before, like, he gets hurt a lot. Yeah. And this year he hasn't gotten hurt. He's been healthy the whole year. And so that's the biggest deal with DL Hall. He stayed healthy.
And that's Buster's argument with Grayson Rodriguez is we had the chance. We could have gotten 3-4 starts out of Grayson. He showed the stuff well enough early in the season that we could have brought him up a month and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get that argument.
I do too.
And so I hope we see DL Hall sooner than later. Speaking of which, it was a little bit surprising that Kyle Stowers, I think, a little bit caught people up. Out of surprise, because people.
This is COVID helped him out, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're so slow with promoting prospects, and then all of a sudden, here's Santander can't play, and so he's on the restricted list, and so here comes Kyle Stowers.
But is that? Are we slow to bring up prospects, or is it just pitching prospects that we're slow to bring up?
I mean, people thought we should have brought up Adley before he was.
I guess you're right, but Adley was hurt, so I get what you're saying. You're right. So that as Stowers did not follow Adley's path,
right?
And now, even Richie Martin deserved to get called up earlier.
I thought Richie Martin should have been there a few weeks ago for Chris Owens. I love Richie Martin. Richie Martin can play every position, Josh. He can play everywhere.
Yes.
And he's fast. Like he to me is that guy you want on your bench. Like he is the guy you want who can, you know, give everyone a rest, including the outfield. He can pinch run and late in the games, be a defensive replacement, super flexible. Like if I'm Brandon Hyde, manager Hyde, like that's the kind of guy I want on my bench. More so than a Chris Owens. So I hope Richie Martin sticks around.
Well, I just wish he could pitch. Here's why Kyle Stowers got the call up. Your other outfielders in Norfolk, as you need an outfielder, you have Yusiniel Diaz, Dylan Harris, Robert Nystrom, Johnny Reiser, DJ Stewart. Which one of those guys is on the 40 man and you want to bring them up?
Yeah, none of them.
None. Option is, do I put Trey Mancini out there?
Well, you could put Richie Martin out there too, get a little creative. Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
And McKenna and McKenna's still on the team.
But that's true. McKenna's still on the team, so you could have gone with McKenna.
But what the other thing Castellanos has going for him? The other thing that Castellanos has going for him is he's a lefty.
Okay.
So you know, it's good to have lefties, and we don't have a lot of lefties in our lineup. But no, Castellanos is an interesting guy, right? He hits a lot of home runs. I've never really seen him in person, to be honest. I'm trying to think. Maybe I saw him at Bowie a couple years ago. I don't really remember.
12 years old. I've just seen him on TV. He looks like a little kid.
He's got the bleached hair. He kind of looks like a little kid, and it's surprising because this is the guy who just kind of hits dongs. Like he's supposed to crush the ball, strikes out a lot, but also hits a lot of home runs. So you're expecting some kind of big, huge bullet dude. And I was watching the pregame, and they interviewed him, and there's this little guy, skinny dude with bleached hair. This is the guy hitting all these home runs. But good for Kyle Stowers. I think it's terrible. And I don't want to get political here, Josh, but I think it sucks about Santander because, well, what I'm always thinking about is, I know a lot of people have talked about, I mean, it hurts that he's not here. He leads the team in home runs. He's a middle lineup hitter.
Yeah.
Kyle Stowers, no offense to Kyle Stowers, he's a downgrade over
of course
Santander at this point in their careers. But what really concerns me, I don't really care about the series. What really concerns me, Josh, is doesn't it hurt Santander's trade value if he can't ever play in Toronto?
I think Canada will get rid of this rule after this year. But yeah, it means Santander is not getting traded to the Blue Jays this year.
Right, but Josh, if you're playing,
that's right.
The Blue Jays are making the playoffs.
It's all about this year. You're right.
The Blue Jays are making the playoffs, and so if you're trading to any American League team, and knowing you could play Toronto in the playoffs and not have a guy you just traded for, I think other teams will be very reluctant to trade for Aiken or Santander.
Yeah,
after this series,
I understand that.
And that annoys me.
Yeah, I understand that. I think without getting political,
right? Because it hurts. I don't care about politics. I care about prospects.
Without this
hurts
political,
our chance of getting prospects.
If I have a chance at a World Series, I think I'll take the shot. Like, even if I don't want the shot, if you tell me I have a chance at the World Series, I think I might look at it a little differently than if I'm playing on the Orioles. Like, that may, I think of many people.
Is that
who
part of
like,
the trade negotiations?
I think part of the trade negotiations could be, hey, if it looks like we're going to have to play the Blue Jays, will you get the shot 2 weeks before that series potential?
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't change your mind at this point, I don't see him changing his mind now. But
there's a lot of things. No, I don't know. Let's say I didn't want to get the shot. And you say, hey, I'll give you $1 million if you get the shot. I'm getting that shot.
I don't know. Now, do players lose paychecks when they're on the restricted list?
But that's what I'm saying. For him, he's got the money. He's not worried about the money.
Right.
But to get a World Series ring, he ain't getting that in Baltimore.
Josh,
so
I don't
get
think
the
you,
chance at that. I'd give up anything.
I don't think you
I
understand these people, though, Josh. I don't think you understand these people and their resistance to the shot. I don't think you understand what level it is.
I think I understand a whole lot more than you think, and I'm just not trying to get political on the podcast.
Okay. Because I think they think they're being heroic.
I think that, but I will also tell you, I live in Florida.
Right. So you're around this more than I am, sure.
I know this extremely well.
But I have friends who have not gotten the shot, and they're proud of it.
I know it.
They've given up a lot for it, and I'm kind of shocked by it, to be honest.
I know a lot of people who have avoided the shot. Right. I know even more people who regret getting the shot.
Okay. I know
people. I talk to these people. I know these people very well. I know the process of Santander and Radish. I know their thought process. I'm very familiar with it. But I still think there's a line. There's a line of something where you just give in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, I'll let the shot, I'll let the government track me, and I'll let the, what else are they scared of? And I'll die early as long as I get that World Series.
Yeah.
It's a risk thing. And if suddenly the risk, the reward outweighs the risk, you can make those changes.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. But again, I go from Mike Leiser's perspective, and I know manager Hyde's annoyed. You could tell him in the pregame when he was interviewed about it. it is what it is, but he was annoyed. And I'm sure Elias is annoyed, but
right.
I think you also have to take into account, if you thought he was traded, I really think this has a negative impact on his trade value.
And I think it could. And I see that. It's also got to be irritating for him because it's like, who cares about Canada and Canada rules? And right. Suddenly Canada rules are affecting your ball club.
Right.
When he's followed all the baseball rules, that's just right. Annoying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's true, but you can't change Canada. Like exactly. It is what it is. But yeah, I'm sure it's annoying from that perspective too.
Yeah.
So I mean, we saw that with the Yankees and a lot of the Yankees, you know, who we thought were not going to get the shot, ended up getting the shot. People like Aaron Judge. And played, unfortunately. Our guy.
Told Santander how to get some fake papers.
Yeah. Can we do an investigation there? I would love to catch some Yankees cheating. That would be great.
There was some football player that was getting out with fake papers, right?
Yeah, it was Antonio Brown.
That's who it was. Yeah, yeah.
Who else would it be?
Santander couldn't give Antonio Brown
ask
a little phone call.
Yeah. But yeah, Keegan Aiken too. But yeah, is what it is.
What do we want out of this Toronto series? Tonight's game's a blowout. It's a clear loss. We've got four games in Toronto. Toronto's a great baseball team. What do we take from this?
They are. I mean, our division, Josh, is insane. I mean,
we've been saying that for years,
but it is ridiculous this year. Every team right now is in the playoffs in our division. We have kind of all the wild cards, all three wild cards, our division. The Yankees, like Toronto is 35-24. Like that's the third best record in the American League. And they're 8.5 games out of first place. They're 8.5 games out of first place with a record that would put them in first place in, you know, three other divisions in baseball. And they're 8.5 out of first place. The Yankees have a winning percentage of 7.33. No one's even close to that. So our division's insane. Red Sox, I mean, the Blue Jays have been playing well and still not gaining ground in the East. But if you look at kind of the starters, Manoah versus Bradish today, I'll tell you that was a loss, right? That's the game you avoid on my bookie with the Orioles.
You avoid all these games. Which game? Tell me when we're going to win one.
Well, if you want to win one, tomorrow is when you got to win it. You got Lyles versus Kikuchi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But that looks like a pretty even pitching matchup. If you don't win that one.
I mean, Wednesday's kind of even too, but it's still
Barrios back from the Twins. That guy has nasty stuff. That's the kind of guy who like has really good stuff but struggled a little bit. He's going to strike out the Orioles 10 times.
Roll the dice. Zimmerman is not the guy we used to see.
Well, Zimmerman, this whole month of May and June, he's been atrocious after a good start. Some people say he's tipping pitches. I've heard all kind of stuff, but he's just not good. And so I think it's going to come down to, so you hope you're going to lose this game. You hope you win your second game. That you got to win that game number two with Lyles. Then the third game, you're probably going to lose because Zimmerman stinks. Yeah. And then it's going to come down to game four.
Game four, I don't even want to watch.
Right, that's I'm pumped about this game. This is the one I'm excited about.
I don't want to watch Kevin Gausman, but then you put Tyler Wells up there, and I'm intrigued.
Yeah, like I think it's going to be a good pitching duel. Tyler Wells versus Kevin Gausman. I was watching a little bit of Kevin Gausman's last start, where he got really lucky. He only gave him like two runs in six innings, but he should have given him a lot more. He got really lucky with a couple plays.
I like to think when I see Kevin Gausman highlights with the long hair and everything, I like to pretend it's someone else and not the guy who was a Baltimore Oriole.
Yeah,
I like to pretend that's a different Gausman,
but he's got a great ERA at 2.67, but like a 5-5 record. So for some reason, the Blue Jays' great offense must not be producing a lot of runs. So it's going to come down, I think, to that game four if we want to split the series. But yeah, you would want to try to split these series. I mean, Toronto's a better team than the Orioles,
right?
So if you can split the series, that feels like a win. Just like when you split with Kansas City, it kind of felt like a loss. But get through Toronto and Tampa Bay. You know, and then you get some easier teams again.
Yep.
So yeah, you got to win tomorrow. That's the one. You got to win tomorrow,
right?
And then hope to win game four.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Because there's not even like personal things. I don't know. Maybe Stowers getting a hit we can watch for. But
yeah, I'm excited to see Stowers play. Well, I think he just gets home runs. So if you look at his statue, he just gets home runs and doubles. So I don't know if he ever gets a single.
He might get a home run before Adley.
Yeah, oh, he might. Oh, yes, we're still waiting for, you know, Homer for Adley. A little surprising, hasn't happened yet. By the way, Josh, if you want good odds,
yeah,
go to my bookie, put $10 down on Adley for Rookie of the Year.
Really? For this year?
Yeah.
Because you think he's got, because he's not performing great, so his number, so he's got real good odds.
Oh my gosh, the odds are insane. You, I don't know. I forget what it is, but I looked it up the other day, like a week ago. It was just insane. Because I put at the beginning, I put some money down for Adley Rookie of the Year at the beginning of the year, even before he got hurt.
But now that he got hurt, and then
and that was like +680, and now it's like just ridiculous.
Let's see. MLB.
While you're looking that up, I want to do a little down on the farm.
Good, because Kirsten just played, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, Kerstad. So this is, I think, one of the kind of the biggest news down the farm is Heston Kerstad is now kind of an everyday player for the Shorebirds this past week. And I think like that's like that alone is a story if he did nothing but kind of show up and play, but he's actually played well. And I was disappointed the game on Sunday was canceled. But you know, before that he's been playing every day in right field, getting on base, getting hits. It's been encouraging, right? Because I mean, I think this year the goal is just see Heston Kerstad play out the year and play out healthy. But he's actually been hitting the ball and playing well. So, I mean, I wonder how long he'll stay in single A because, I mean, honestly, he's 23. He's a former first-round pick, a college dude. But he's batting .429 with an OPS of over 1,000. So a good opening kind of week. Just been a few games, right? But a good opening week for Heston Kerstad. So hopefully he continues to play every day down there for Delmarva. And my plan is to get out there the next couple of weeks and see him play in Delmarva. I want to get out there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to go see him play. And eventually, I hope one day we see him up in Black and Orange. We see him up in the Orioles.
Yep.
I cannot find on my bookie the Rookie of the Year stuff, so it might not be up there anymore.
Okay. You go search MLB and find like the World Series odds and MVP odds. You have those kind of odds still up?
Yeah, I'm not seeing the World Series odds, so I'm doing something wrong.
Okay. I'll show you later.
Yeah. So you'll have to look that up and post it on Twitter or something.
All right. The other thing I want to mention about that down on the farm, the Norfolk Tides lineup has been given a makeover, both with coming out of injury and the call-ups to Bowie we talked about last week. And I tell you what, Norfolk team looked pretty weak a couple weeks ago. They look pretty legit now. The top, you know, three guys, it used to be four if you had Stowers in there, but you lead off with Vavra, who seems to be a legit prospect, who's batting .333 with an OPS of .866, had a great week this past week, coming back from injury. Then you get the call-up of Westberg playing shortstop, who's batting .455 since his call-up. It's been a week, but still, a week of batting .455 with an OPS of 1.387, insane. And then Henderson, who just walks all the time, batting .278, but an on-base percentage over .500 and an OPS of .963. So just watch the top three, and when Stowers comes back, the top four of the Norfolk Tides, because I think all three of those guys, and four if Stowers is there, could be big parts of the team next year. So that's pretty fun that we have so many top hitting prospects at Norfolk right now.
It's what makes the future of this team interesting.
Yeah, and I mean these are guys in Westberg and Henderson that I feel like we've been following for a while down there in Bowie and stuff, and now they're just one step away, and they're off to really hot starts. So that's fun to see, because sometimes these players struggle when they're caught up, but they're both off to hot starts. So something to watch for if they continue to play well at Norfolk. And Norfolk's been winning baseball games now, too, with them there. So that's fun, and putting up a ton of runs. So that's been fun to see.
Yeah, BetMGM has Adley at +1,200. So you bet your $10, you win $120.
Yeah, that's not a bad return on investment. Nope,
not bad.
Yeah. All
right. So. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to point out, I'm not sure if you had any more down on the farm. But I was going to point out we had a couple listeners ask for how to listen to our intro song, Welcome to Birdland, like outside of the podcast. I guess they want to listen to just the music and not you and I talk, or they want to make it part of their like Orioles pump up, like let's get ready for the game, and they want to use our intro song. That's so cool. There's now an album on Spotify and coming soon to Apple Music called Section 336, and it's all of our theme songs. We've had 5 theme songs over the years, and all 5 of them are now in an album on Spotify, soon to be on Apple Music as well. So just search Section 336, and it'll come up with the podcast, but click on albums, and you get all of our music.
Oh, very cool.
So that way you can add it to your Orioles playlist, whatever pumps you up for the game and gets you ready.
Yeah, that's good. Go into the game music. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever plays the music over at Oriole Park, feel free to use our intro. You can play Welcome to Birdland. Go ahead. I know you just picked up that It's a Maryland Thing song, and people are excited you're playing that in the stadium now. I think people would really get hyped up for Welcome to Birdland.
Yeah, I agree. So. All right, Ray, get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it. We didn't talk about Paul McCartney. You didn't go see Paul McCartney?
I did not see Paul McCartney. I think a lot of people did, and good for them. Right. Seems like a good show.
But I go to that stadium to see baseball.
Yeah. People are into Paul McCartney, so good for him. I hope it made, you know, the Angelus has a lot of money that they can then spend on Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
Or if Buster's right, just put in their pockets.
Right. That ATM machine looks pretty nice last night.
Yeah, seriously. But no, that's part of, right? That's part of John and Lou, or maybe John, or maybe Lou, I don't know.
Birdland Entertainment or something, right?
Yeah, about something that they want to do more of.
Entertainment.
Yeah. And if I see another advertisement for Flo Rida on June 17th or whenever it is.
That's a weird event, because it's not just Flo Rida. It's Flo Rida and Smash Mouth and like Cisco or something.
Oh, really?
Or that's 2 separate events, but it's like the most random people. Yeah. It's like, hey, we can't do country this year because they'll say that we're moving to Nashville. So let's do something else.
Yeah. No, it's just, they just advertise it a lot on the games. Like, dude, us Oreo fans watch every game. You don't need to advertise things all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're, that's like MLB. TV, it's always the same little ads all the time.
And maybe that's too, because I watch in the Masson app, so I also get, I feel like, all the same commercials every time.
Right, exactly.
On the Masson app.
Yeah, you also get a nice delay. But I'm not going to complain. The Masson app's awesome. It's there.
Yeah, it's better than, it's better than no Masson app.
Exactly.
In this case, yeah.
Take it. All right, let's see. Yeah, I think that about covers it. That covers our Orioles news. Head on over to section336.com, click on the support up in the top, or in the store and pick up a t-shirt. I'm working on some new t-shirts because of the Welcome to Birdland excitement of getting that album over on Spotify. I have a Welcome to Birdland t-shirt that'll be up in the next few days. I've been working on that and ways that you can support us over there so we can get things rolling.
All right. If you like our show, go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. Any new reviews on iTunes, Josh?
I haven't taken a look. So we're going to say no. Not
no,
this
there
week.
Is one.
But there is one?
Yeah. Well, I just pulled it up. The review reads, if you're an Orioles fan, this is the podcast. If you like baseball, you will enjoy the show. So I think that pretty much sums it up.
Straight to the point.
Yeah, I agree. And it's true. Baseball and Orioles, you'll enjoy the show.
Cool. And I like the username. Ens O's Dad Podcast.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even notice that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
NSO Dad's Podcast.
All
right. So, Orioles fan. Yeah, that's a cool, I'll take it.
Yep. We would appreciate even more reviews. Go ahead and give us 5 stars and write us a nice comment there on iTunes or wherever you listen to your show.
Yeah, let us know what you think about this brother drama, because no Orioles podcast knows about brother drama like Matt and I.
Yes, we have special insight into this brother
drama. Why would you listen to another Orioles podcast when you can get a podcast done by brothers when the whole drama is about brothers.
Yes. You'll only, if you listen to other podcasts, you'll just be hearing one side of the brother drama.
Exactly.
Here you get to hear both sides of the brother drama.
And you know what? Well, let's put that out also for Peter and Lou. This is the podcast to come on.
Yeah.
We'll take the back seat.
Two brothers talking to two brothers.
Come fill in. Let's get it out there.
Lou, I'll get your back. Josh, you can have John's back.
That's fine. John and I will get along fine.
Yeah, I think Lou and I will get along fine. I like Lou. I'm about to do some petty stuff to Josh, too. I like that.
All right, so, I'm team John.
All right, I'm team Lou. There we go.
Wrap this up.
All right. So you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Section336. You can follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Soroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's.